Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
This is weird. It's all back, isn't it? I just felt like a couple of weeks ago, we just were looking down the barrel of sitting around for a little while and suddenly just should be good. All right. Hello, so what a rush. Yes, the floodgates of FPL were ceremoniously opened earlier on today as the game reopened with unlimited transfers. So bloody exciting. I'm joined today, of course, by Nick and Anthony as the WTA crew does its usual coming together. And given the number of games coming up, I'm imagining we're going to be doing that quite a lot. Nick, first, are you all right?
Yep, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, everything's fully official now. The game's back and live, and we've got unlimited transfer to boot. So plenty of activity, plenty of talking points. We are Who Got the Assist. You can find us on Twitter at WGT_FPL for Tom, at WGT_Nick for myself, and Stag can be found at FPL Stag. And we are also on Instagram, WGTA.FPL, so make sure to check it out and give us a follow there as well. So, Stag, Anthony, how are you doing? And what's on the pod this week?
Evening, gents. Good to be back again. All is well here. Ireland is into phase two of our now four-stage lockdown strategy. So it was supposed to be five, but that was accelerated last week on account of political pressure or success in fighting the virus. You can delete whichever of those to suit your perspectives. But the big news, of course, on the FPL front is, of course, the relaunch of the FPL game. So as we already knew, we are continuing the season that was. Sadly, there's no mini tournament, but we do have unlimited transfers to wade into instead. So it's a de facto extra wildcard, effectively. So that'll keep us in Tinkertown for the next few weeks as we pour over the fixture list, which has also been set out in the last few days. So this pod is not going to be a which player should I pick pod. We're going to hold off that until next week when we have more information about team selection, etc. Instead, in, I guess, time-honored WGTA tradition, what we're going to do instead is dig into the detail on strategy. Chips, no matter how many you have left, what should you do? We have double game week 30 straight away when the Premier League returns. So that is the big question for everybody. Bench boost, free hit, keep your wild card for longer, keep it for shorter. Lots of questions.
Cool. And let's get straight into it, I suppose. Of the three of us here, Anthony and I are both in the same boat, which is we've got free hit and bench boost left. But I think we should start with Nick in terms of what you're thinking about and where you are, because obviously with the unlimited transfers, you've got one wild card, but you've got your other wild card in your pocket. What are you going to do up the back nine? Throughout this pod, we are going to talk about what we're going to do, all three of us, to try to make it as general as possible rather than being just about kind of our strategies.
So for me, the strategy, I guess, feels quite easy. Obviously, with the unlimited transfers, I know I talked about it perhaps not being ideal for certain managers, but actually, like when reviewing it, I've kind of come up with a strategy which seems pretty simple ultimately and very effective in terms of what I want to do. And I'll be using that unlimited transfers wildcard to just load up on double game week players, as many as possible ultimately, and use the bench boost at the same time as well. So potentially could have up to 12 double game week players. I don't know if the triple up on Aston Villa is really worth it, but maybe it might be worth a punt, even with, you know, a few cheap assets like McGinn and being back and stuff like that. So looking towards that sort of strategy of just bench boosting in 30 plus, and then the following week using the wild cards that I've still got in storage and getting rid of all those Aston Villa dross players that I'm not going to want to keep around. So I get 1 week of, you know, Grealish with a double game week, and then I can get rid of them all instantaneously and bring in the players that I will want to cover and the teams I will want to cover. You know, the likes of Manchester United, I'm probably not interested in particularly in holding any United players for that Spurs game. But after that, they've basically got a run of just fantastic fixtures right until the end of the season. So in 31, I'll probably be looking at a triple up of Manchester United and covering up a few of those other teams perhaps that I would have ignored in game week 30. For instance, Liverpool, I'm not necessarily going to be too interested in covering for game week 30 because they've got that sort of crunch game against Everton. But after that, they've got really nice run of fixtures as well. So that's my strategy, just to use the unlimited transfers and bench boost 15 players and then wildcard in 31. And then I've still got the free hit as well. But I'm probably going to save the free hit right until the end of the season, game week 38. Because all the games in that week are going to start at the same time. So it's not going to be any, you know, there's a game going to be in 4 days' time, so we're not going to know who's going to start, what's going to happen. Normally, like an hour before the deadline, we've got quite a lot of information to play with. We might know, you know, which players from Liverpool or which players from Manchester City the managers are going to be resting or whatever, or not playing in 38. So I'll be using that free hit that week to kind of use as much information to my advantage.
Okay, no, that's interesting. I suppose like there's a question from Danish Magpie on this. He said, you know, he's in the same position as you and he's deciding between two things. One, which Anthony and I guess can talk about a little bit in a minute, in terms of free hitting in 30 to create a strong double game week side. And then you've got kind of, you know, your Bruno Fernandes, your Salah, your TAA coming back for next week in 31. Or unlimited transfers to this great bench boost team, which we're doing. Like, have you considered free hitting and getting your guys back now, like back as they were? Like, are you worried about value, for example, like selling players and then having to pay more to buy them back?
So not really. I haven't really considered the first option. I think there's a few issues with it. For instance, well, the reason I want to bench boost in this next week is the fact that it's probably going to be the only double that we actually have to play with. So it's a good chance to kind of increase my exposure as much as possible for those double game week players and have as much and, you know, an extended team as possible. And then the other issue, I guess, is just like you're losing that chance to use unlimited transfers by free hitting in that first week. So I'd rather, if everyone has unlimited transfers and everyone gets their chance to use unlimited transfers, I'd rather make as much use of it as myself as well to try and give me that additional advantage. And then I've still got my free hit as well, which I can use to affect in a later game week, perhaps as, you know, as late as game week 38, but I've still got that chip in my arsenal, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I know where you're coming from, Nick. I think that certainly makes sense. I'm kind of, just to kind of move on to where I am, I think I'm kind of jealous of the fact that you're able to take advantage of this unlimited transfers. Like, it's happened for the first time in ever, basically. I think it was kind of an arcane period, 2011-12, maybe, when the game was broken and they gave a wild card in game week two. But this is basically unprecedented to use that word again. And I'm doing something very stark, which is completely ignoring the ability to use it. So the FPL Crate Digger asked me to free hit or not to free hit. And FPL Gabriel asked, you know, what's a good approach for those without a wild card? And my view, you know, I don't know if Anthony's actually going to be different. I've actually not prepped with him beforehand, but I'm going to free hit this week. I know I said last week to answer Ketan Chopra's question that I wasn't too keen on chips, but I actually am a lot keener now to use a chip, which is going to be the free hit, and go into this game week with 9 on 10 players and a double and retain my game week 30 squad to come back in game week 31. This means I do forego the unlimited transfers, but I'm happy with that, you know? Like, I retain my team and the value and everything like that there. And funnily enough, in some ways, like I said last week, that, you know, the conservative choice, the cautious choice, is the one to be favoured. And although it sounds a bit counterintuitive, using the free hit, I think, actually is the conservative choice, because I'm attacking the double game week in full consciousness that it's a weird week. I'll like have team news, hopefully, for the four teams that are going to populate the majority of my starting 11. And I'll have my nice squad to come back once I get to game week 31 with all that value and all that investment I've got in it. Because it's quite a strong squad. Like, it's got Talisman, 90 minutes men. But it does mean that I forego the unlimited transfer gifts, which feels a bit odd. But you know, with the free hit, it just feels like it's a nice way of kind of kicking any kind of big decisions down the road, because I'm basically going to end up with like a lot of players that I don't want if I make those transfers, even if they are unlimited and they come without a hit. And I don't have a wild card. So I don't want to be landed with Villa, you know, beyond Grealish. I don't want to be landed with Sheffield United, who have done well, but they've got tough fixtures. I don't want to be landed too much City because there's lots of rotation and Arsenal, lots of inconsistent kind of unknown sort of about them. Like, and I might well captain Sterling, for example, in my free hit. I mean, that's the epitome of the free hit to me. Like, am I interested in owning him? Probably not at the moment. But am I interested in taking a punt on someone like that or, you know, someone like Mahrez even on a free hit? Yes, sir, I am. So, yeah, that's where I am at the moment. Free hit for this next game. We can use BB at some point later on. But yeah, I'll kind of start to use free transfers and hits and things after this.
So I'm taking a different approach to both of you, obviously, in that I have different chips to you, Nick. But with Tom, even though we have the same situation, I think it's different in some ways as well. Same but different in that I'm probably less happy with my rank, for sure, for a start. So I feel like I need to zag against the community as they zig a little bit more. But I'm also just not as happy with my team as it stands right now. There's quite a few imposters as far as I see it in there. And as well, I think I, on a very kind of personal outside of FPL level, I kind of feel like I want to use the great phrase, take back control of my team and edit it up just so that I kind of put my own stamp on it again and get going. So with that in mind, like, I have issues anyway with attacking game week 30, given that I don't have a second wild card to play with after I've used these unlimited wild card or unlimited transfers that we have. So the two main issues are the lack of team news for 10 of the 12 fixtures in that week, because, like, it's a Wednesday night. There are two Wednesday night games are kicking it off, and then all the rest of them really kind of start as a standard weekend beyond that. So that's a huge amount of uncertainty in a normal game week, not to mind when we're dealing with the teams coming back with the guts of 100 days since their last games were played. There's uncertainty about selection, about motivation, and I just feel like it would be good to see how things go over those first few weeks. Regarding the bench boot, the bench boost chip for this game week, double game week 30. We're not sure how the Premier League managers are going to use these five subs. Sure, we can get indications from Germany, but we don't know how they themselves will use it in England with English league players and the different intensity of the game that goes with it. Like, will they be rotating who is starting or benched, or will they just be more liberal with subs and kind of keep a more standard starting lineup and then just replenish the team as energy wanes or for tactical reasons? And as well, bench boosts are successful not just because you picked the right players or you had the right captain, but often because you had the right defenders in your team. And the importance of defensive points is huge on a bench boost, and that's something we've seen that's taken time to be reliable in Fantasy Bundesliga for a lot of teams. So with that in mind as well, it just seems like doubling up, going on to this bench boost now, like, you're just building, if anything, on the inherent risks that go with the bench boost, that it's so often a disappointment for managers anyway. Like, you rarely ever see, you know, some sort of bench boost that people are posting around saying, wow, it's really gone well for me. Whereas you'd see that with the triple captain chip a little bit more, or your free hits where people smash it out of the park. With the free hit, okay, I do agree, Tom, that it's the conservative approach in terms of, like, okay, look, get your team sorted for this double game week. It looks like it's the only double game week. Fine, great. Strikes me as a good kind of carpe diem idea to it too. But, like, the issue then is that you're using all these unlimited transfers that we have right now to set up a team for game week 31 and into the future beyond that, not even knowing who's in favor in these teams. And then we're going back to the whole uncertainty about selection and motivation questions that I've already flagged in the first place. So, okay, there's things that are good about this, but then there are things that are bad about it. And
yeah, I think you do raise some interesting points there. I mean, as you said, you're kind of speculating a little bit that there's going to be additional double game weeks. And even if there are, I could potentially still have and use my free hit chip in that game week 38 and take advantage of it. So I could, if there are tons of doubles, then I can load up on those players for that double game week. So it's less of a concern for me, perhaps, if there are additional doubles. That's what the free hit chip that's still in my arsenal can be used for. So I think for me personally, I'm still in preference of using the bench boost. It seems like a really good opportunity to combine the two of unlimited transfers and bench boost in 1 week. So, you know, this is my chance and ultimately my opportunity to load up on as many players as I can to take full advantage of that double game week, and then I can actually scrap all the crap that I've just brought in, all those Aston Villa players, etc. I don't need them for the rest of the season. I don't care about them. But, you know, they've got a game, and they will be quite motivated. You know, Sheffield United, he said, if Aston Villa do well against Sheffield United, I lose all those Sheffield United clean sheets. It won't matter, probably, because some of my Aston Villa players will likely be in returning some points there. So, either way, for me, it feels like a win-win to use the bench boost, and just feels like a really good opportunity as well.
Okay, James Querald asked us a question. It was any advantage of saving the bench boost this week? And I'm going to say that one really good advantage to saving is that I think there's a good chance that we will have another double game week. And I think it would probably be game week 38, given the way that the schedule is so chock already, you're not going to fit any extra fixtures in. Why is that? Because the likelihood of a game being called off because of too many positive coronavirus cases on one side or two sides of a fixture is extremely high. We've already seen so many players breaking quarantine, doing all sorts of random stuff at our friend Kyle Walker, etc. That I just think that if you hold on to your bench boost, you could have a very nice bench boost right at the end there with all the information about how squads are playing, how they're set up, or you could use your free hit even then as well. But just to answer James' question with the bench boost, you could have a pretty good setup for yourself for a bench boost in what I presume may become a double game week 38. And if you don't, like, look, you can just use it on one of the other game weeks as the season comes to a close. And you're just as likely, as far as I'm concerned, given the uncertainty of the bench boost, to succeed anyway. And like, it's only an all right double game week in terms of fixtures. Like, okay, City and Sheffield United have decent fixtures, but like, one is managed by the most unpredictable manager in the league, and the jury is back out when it comes to Sheffield United for me, a bit like you, Tom, and that, like, will they be motivated? What's going on with them? And so that's pretty much my overall feeling, is that I'm just going to set my team up to just go through this double game week as it is and use my chips later.
I can't think of a situation in the past, unless you've been wildcarding on the final day that it's allowable, the final game week is allowable, and then you've wildcarded again the first day of the second wildcard. So the only time I can think where you're ever going to have the opportunity to do a back-to-back wildcard in that way, I just think it's such a very, very small percentage of people that have done wildcard in normal season, that why not? And I think, you know, Stag and I used our wildcards and we did make some hay from them, so it's not as if we've it's not a case that people who held their wild card are at an advantage right now, but over the course of the season I think it's evened out, because we've had our chance, you know, as it were, of the wild card. We couldn't have guessed the global pandemic would kick off, but I still think it's I think it's an interesting time. I can see where the bench boost comes from. I'm just a little bit, I don't know, I think without the wild card, you kind of think, oh, I don't want to commit to these players, which is why the free hit opens up to me. Like, I mean, I see what you're saying about the lineups, for example, Anthony, but I mean, you only need, what, 6 out of 24 of the lineups to go your way? No, how many do I need? The outcome of 6 matches need to go my way out of 24. Everything, like, in those 4 teams, then the risk is hopefully a bit smaller, because I already know before the first midweek fixtures how well I'm going to do, and I've already had one set of fixtures with the team. And if I pick players who do look like they are likely to start both games, you know, the likes of Grealish, likes of Aubameyang, the likes of who knows about City, Christ knows, but you know, the likes of Sheffield United defenders, that sort of thing, Samatta, like these players, although they don't sound very inspiring, the more I say their names, they are at least going to give me that sort of cover and give me that decent sort of re-entry into the game. Whilst I wait to get some more certainty, which is when I want my proper team back, as it. So it does seem like the epitome of the sort of time you use a free hit.
Yeah, I think exactly. So I think with the pot shot of not having all the information, at least for the games that are on Wednesday night, the Aston Villa, Sheffield United, Man City, Arsenal, before the game week starts, we'd have had those press conferences from Pep, from Arteta, from Chris Wilder, and the other bloke, Dean Smith, that's it, I can remember his name for a second. But you'd have had all the press conferences from those guys. So, there won't be any surprises in those first lineups, really, apart from obviously the gamble that's always going to be a gamble of the Manchester City players. Where the risk lies is who's going to be fit for Liverpool, because we won't have heard from Klopp. You know, there's already, I've seen Bender and he's already tweeted about the likes of Salah and Robertson having injuries and sitting out the behind closed doors friendly. So there's going to be risks there. So I think it does kind of, I think that does lend it a little bit to using stuff like the free hit or using the bench boost, because those teams are going to be the teams that your players are going to be ultimately focused on bringing in. Although Sheffield United defenders, most of them are going to play anyway. They barely miss a single minute, especially if you target some of the 90-minute men in central defence there, and you know, like Dean Henderson as well. So I think that kind of makes sense from my perspective, at least, why I'm going for the strategy that I'm proposing.
I wouldn't say that the free hit is as a cast iron kind of, you know, it was almost painted there, I think, especially there, Tom, as a kind of, it's definitely going to work out because you only need a few team sheets to go your way. Like, there's,
I never
16...
say definitely, I'm not an idiot.
yeah, sorry.
There is a likelihood.
With 17 caveats that it's likely
it could
to go
occur
well.
If I'm lucky.
Yeah, works out 50% of the time, 90% of the time. But no, but there were 16 other sides that are playing that weekend whose team press conferences you know nothing about. And so, like, you're going to keep some of their players regardless. You're not going to allow yourself to be completely exposed to all the other games. Like, for example, Liverpool playing against Everton, who, I don't know, we've already talked about a team that we think are vulnerable, even if it's a Merseyside derby. I don't put much stock in that, especially with no fans in the stadium. So there are risks there. And then at the end of the day, is there a better time to use the free hit later in the season? I think there potentially is. Game week 33, they're particularly nice fixtures, I think. And also then there is the game week 38 thing that we've already spoken about as well. The chance of a double game week, or just it's a good weekend anyway. There tends to be an awful lot of goals in game week 38. Often you see free hit strategies or triple captain strategies work out on game week 38. And I don't think this will be any different.
I think it is just also to look at the fixtures this week. I mean, really, the only kind of exposure I've got, so I'll probably keep Trent just because, like, everyone remembers Leicester. Never forget Leicester. But I mean, other than that, the only fixture I'm really worried about is Wolves and West Ham.
That's probably Aston Villa.
It. Yeah, but I'll have Aston Villa, you know. I'm all about the Villa. I'll have Samatta.
It's the Chelsea side of that.
But as FPL Stag said in last week's pod, we just don't know who's going to start from them. So why would I worry about them?
I think it does stem a little bit in terms of your current team. So yeah, if you're going to free hit, that means that you're pretty comfortable with your current team. And there's a few people out there that have been doing transfers week in, week out anyway, up until game week 38. So they're looking at pretty decent squads already. So don't need to necessarily use the unlimited transfer. So if you've got that case, and that might be the case with you, Tom, that you want a free hit, load up on your Sheffield United and Villa dross, and then you go back and you've got your Manchester United players straight back in, you know, sort of Fernandes, probably not Rashford, but he'll come in, and you've got your, you know, some of the other teams as well, perhaps, that you would have got rid of if you were using unlimited transfers, like Wolves, for instance, perhaps.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of people as well. Like, I've seen a few kind of people saying, well, I've got lots of team value here, actually, who do have wild card intact, mm-hmm. and they're kind of taking the extreme in terms of what Anthony's saying, and they're saying, well, I'm going to keep my bench boost, keep my wild card in my pocket, and then basically just use my free hit now, even though I could bench boost and then wild card afterwards. For example, all about FPL asks, you know, what's the best strategy for those with all their chips? And I think, kind of depending, what Nick said is true, it depends boringly on what your team looks like, because there are a lot of people out there who probably have very high value on it. A lot of their players are reticent to sell. And I think there definitely would be, to answer what James Corral asked, and our Finnish friend FPL Flucky Plucker also asked this, like, about keeping your bench boost and doing something else and using your free hit. Like, I think there's definitely a good case to do that. Like, it's not the case that if you have your wild card in your hand, you have to do that bench boost followed by the wild card next week. There definitely is, for the reasons I've posited about playing cautiously and there being a low risk kind of way of navigating things without kind of hurting your permanent team. I think there is definitely a valid argument for everything, isn't there? But there's definitely a valid way of doing that too.
Yeah, I definitely think that if I had a wild card, I'd be attacking game week 30 just purely because, if anything, that's what the meta is going to do. So it'd be just a safer thing to do. But look, as somebody trailing as well, you could still kind of differentiate who you're picking up. I guess that would mean maybe Arsenal. It's basically going to be the question of how many Arsenal and who from Arsenal you pick up would probably be how you differentiate yourself, given the kind of randomness of the four teams involved. But in the situation that I'm currently in with no wild cards, nah, then for the above mentioned reasons, I think I'm still sticking with no chip use.
Fair enough. I just think free hit, because you might as well just free hit then if you're going to attack the game week.
It's like I can set up for a far longer period here. Like I don't have enough, let's say, United players in my team, and they have an absolutely ridiculously good run of fixtures. Wolves as well, Watford, Norwich, Leicester, all good have good fixtures. Whereas I have a few from the kind of terrible fixture teams as well. Your Palaces, your Sheffield Uniteds, your Bournemouths, Brighton.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense.
But presumably you're going to attack the game week a little bit anyway if you're unlimited transfer. So, for instance,
well, like I don't plan on playing a team.
Arsenal still seems.
Yeah, like I hope to pick up points, all right. But you know, it's not going to be the same time. I'm just going to approach it like any other game week. Not, I guess, as a not necessarily the double game week that maybe other people might put it on the pedestal as. I just try and deal with it and move forward because I just. After a poor season, I just need to differentiate, and this seems like a pretty solid way to do so.
All right, cool, it certainly makes sense. And the final question, the final thing we might want to cover is what happens if you have no chips? And there are probably a few people out there who have spaffed them all, which I guess is kind of the extreme again of what you're doing in terms of maximizing that UT to basically set yourself up for the next few weeks. United and Wolves players, I think Chris Smith asked us about that. That basically sounds about right, doesn't
it? Yeah, definitely couldn't come up with any more alternative strategies. It's like, what are you going to do? Maybe, I don't know, captain madly to try and keep up with people if you really feel that you're behind and you've spaffed your chips in a bid to try and catch up and you haven't caught up. Like, it's the captaincy is your friend at this point. But otherwise, get out your rosary beads or whatever.
If you've got no chips, I feel like the unlimited transfers is almost like a godsend to you because it just gives you... you know, that extra chance to kind of, you know, wrap up the season as best you can. So it's an extra tool. So use it as much as you can. I mean, you know, as you said, Manchester United, target them for sure. Wolves, some great fixtures. I'd also say Arsenal would be really good to target on your unlimited transfers with the double, and then Southampton, Norwich after that. Some really nice fixtures for them. So just look at the fixtures and you know, unfortunately, we don't really have the form and sheets to work with. But you know, just use the fixtures to your best of your ability.
Yeah, certainly. Spoke about that last week, and we'll certainly get into that. Well, a little bit later on, and definitely in next week's pod. Cool. All right. So let's just round off them. Nick is going to bench boost straight away after using his unlimited transfers. I am going to sack off unlimited transfers altogether, look at that gift horse right in the mouth and give it a slap and use free hit instead. And Anthony is sitting in the corner going, no, I'm just going to use my unlimited transfers and cautiously...
Yeah, possibly just doing an ostrich impression and just sticking my head in the sand and hoping for the best. I will admit that.
Upsetting Nigel Pearson as you do it. Right, excellent. Well, all right, let's take a break there and move on to the questions after this.
Who got the assist?
Hello, so we're back and it's time to go into the Q&A. Before we do that, we can talk about the FCA nomination just very quickly. It's still open. It's suffice to say, when we said a lot last week on it, it's nice to add a bonus for all the work we do. It's not the be all and end all, but nonetheless, if you do want to go ahead and vote for us, please go on to footballcontentawards.com, all one word, /2020-voting. Find us in the best in fans football category in the podcast, and or you can vote on Twitter. You write, I'm voting for @WGTA_FPL in @_FCAs for #bestinfantasyfootballpodcast. And that is all I'm going to say on that matter this week. Move on to the questions then, and the first one is quite a biggie actually. It's a very interesting one, and we'll definitely do a bit more about this next week, or at least we'll use this as springboard to next week's kind of thing, but worth including here too. So FPL Awesomeo completely spontaneously asked, as someone who likes to make decisions based on the data, is it a waste of time to look at the last kind of few game weeks to try to make decisions this time? Is it the start of a new season basically? And Adam Pritchard asks if we are flipping off for XG lovers for the rest of the season. What do we think? Is it all about, do the stats even matter anymore? Is it useful to consider them, or are they, as I saw someone call it on FPL Twitter this week, worthless now?
Yeah, fed up of statistics, fed up of experts that just don't matter anymore. It's just about what we feel, I think, at this point. Like, as I think Chris kind of got across it, really, it's just the fact that, like, it is like the start of a new season. And if you just told me about game weeks 36 to 38 the previous season, in August, I'd be kind of looking at you. Of course, that's not relevant. Like, where was the team at? What were their motivations? Like, there were Champions League games around the time that the season was curtailed. So teams were rotating and doing all, there was all sorts of random things that were going on, which means that the data is always going to be skewed, and we always need much greater percentage of data than, let's say, 2 weeks or three game weeks. So with that in mind, like, look, okay, of course it's indicative and it's helpful to know who was good. Like, you know, Tom Tribble isn't suddenly going to be like Norwich's best player. But at the same time,
hey,
Tribal effort cow. But yeah, that man isn't going to suddenly be Norwich's best player. But like, at the same time, there's no point like digging into Pookie's XG data to move on to Adam Pritchard's thing. Like, okay, we're going to flip off the XG lovers from, you know, earlier in the season, but we're going to start embracing them again. They are my people anyway. I'm a big fan of XG, and so even after a week or two, I'm going to be looking at just where players were getting, you know, the positions players were getting into, touches in the box, and XG. They're all going to be an important part of who I'm selecting. So that's my...
Yeah, makes sense. So transition from flip-off to toss-off. Nick, what do you reckon?
I think a lot of what we do during the usual pod season, which is looking at, you know, the previous five game weeks, isn't necessarily going to have that same value that it would do. However, I do still think that the data that we have accrued over the course of the season is still valid, and there's no harm at all in referencing it. And I think it's obviously, you can go back to the saying, form is temporary but class is permanent, as you kind of indicated with the Tom Tribble example. But like a player like Trent Alexander-Arnold, for instance, he touted at the beginning of the season, and we talked about him as being a really good asset for this season. And how did we back that up? We backed it up with the data from the previous season, and that's still valid, and we can back up the fact that Trent is still going to be a fantastic pick for FPL at his current price, based on what he's done over the course of this season. 75 chances created, for instance, which has led to 12 assists. And, you know, that's the same for the other creative defenders as well. We're still going to be talking about them and still going to say they're brilliant picks in FPL. You know, Luca Dean or Andrew Robertson, ultimately, they're the top three creators in force. So defence this season, they're the same three creators in force from the previous season as well. So, you know, using the stats in the previous season, calling out those players as good FPL picks is still valid. And it was valid at the beginning of the season, and it's still valid now. And also, actually, I would say, you know, the whole sort of, it's like a new season. It's not quite like a new season. And a good example of this is Chelsea. So, for instance, last summer, Chelsea, beginning this year, completely new team, completely different team to what they were last season. You couldn't really talk about Chelsea's data because they were, you know, a one-man band in Eden Hazard, and they didn't really have any other players or FPL assets that were worth considering. This season, they had new men come in. They had the likes of Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, emerge, you know, shine a new light in FPL, brilliant bargain picks as well in FPLs, no price changes, no new players, it's the same personnel. So the likes of Mason Mount, 6.1 million, still someone worth calling out, and the stats are good for him over the course of this season. He's fifth for midfielders for goal attempts with 68, and he's scored six goals as well. So still is a good example of a good value pick that I'd like to call out and say, yeah, the stats back it up over the course of what he's delivered over this season. Whilst, you know, beginning of this season, we didn't really have anything to say about Chelsea or any knowledge because of the fact they changed so much. But it's the same personnel that Lampard has to work with. Werner's not necessarily joining until the 1st of July, maybe. Same guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I broadly am going to agree with you, Nick, incredibly. I still think, you know, using evidence to make your points is very useful. I mean, even if it is the case that we've now got to sharpen focus on fixtures in the context of new conditions that may remove some sense of, you know, how valid the stats are, like, using them as evidence to back up your point is still incredibly relevant. I mean, we're still going to be using them. So even if, you know, if it is fixtures that we are all over because form doesn't exist anymore, we're still using league points. We're still using team data to underpin why we should be looking at certain players or looking at certain teams and why that will work. I mean, we did say last week that perhaps the removal of home advantage may remove some sense of unpredictability. Perhaps we just don't know. But using the Bundesliga, maybe that's not true because you've got all those away wins suddenly happening. Either way, we or I, or hopefully we, are still using evidence rather than feeling-based stuff for the majority of the time. So I just don't trust it. I just don't trust like someone's viewpoint based on some sort of perception. I'd like to have like an evidence fabric on which to build what you've got to say. And I mean, I think it's definitely true as well that things may have changed over the course of the 100 days or whatever it is we've had off. There's a good article in The Athletic, for example, recently about how a lot of coaches have been coaching differently or using the time to kind of look for new methods or look at developing their tactics, things like that. So I think there will be a bit more spice and there will be some stuff which are interesting. At the start of each season, as Nick said, we do base what we think on the data from the previous season. I think that's unavoidable and there are obvious caveats come with it, to use my catchphrase. But it's not like that data is cold. So you are kind of saying, okay, that's not really live anymore, but what may happen is hopefully vaguely predictable based on what's happened in the past. I mean, this season it's not finished. The form data is probably gone, but you can still draw, I guess, generalities from it. At the start of every season, I think we normally wait until game week 5, don't we, Nick? Until we start really using data to back points up. And I think that's fine. I think maybe because we've got kind of a set of, should we call it, semi-live data that's still there from when we stopped. So I think probably we can start using it a little bit more. And next week, we'll definitely use that data to be suggesting players and positions, that's for sure.
Of course, I was being obviously flippant like cast aside all data.
Flippant about flipping,
exactly. Yeah, flip squared. No, I was definitely being flippant just to kind of, you know, almost stimulate debate there. But like, we're not going to be saying he got 3 shots in the box in the like game week, 100 days ago. That's not the sort of detail we're going to be going into. But of course, the kind of the greater general idea of what players do and who gets in good positions for teams won't radically change. But I think what you've got at there, Tom, with that Athletic article reference you just made, and I think that's something that maybe we should focus on, but perhaps we won't quite get around to in next week's pod, is that teams that have good managers are certainly going to benefit much more from this second preseason than teams that don't. If you've got these are going to be completely different conditions. So if you, and they're also going to be incredibly challenging from the point of view of fitness, fatigue, rotation, etc. And so if you've got a manager who kind of understands that it's going to make a huge difference over the course of these next few weeks. Like I'm almost disappointed that we don't have Sam Allardyce as a control sample for the next 10 weeks or 9 weeks, just to see what it would have been like to have a manager like him who takes a certain approach to things versus your Peps, your Klopps, your Chris Wilders, for example, who are very, very thoughtful about things. I think Ralf Hasenhüttl is actually somebody who would be really interesting to watch as well. It's kind of a pity that Southampton aren't in danger, actually, because I'd have liked to see how they'd have pulled away from the others with, I think, a better manager than maybe the rest of them, except for Graham Potter. He's fantastic. Yeah,
Pulis on the back nine, imagine. Yeah, no, there you go. Very typically WGTA stance on stats there. I apologise if I was too serious for many. Right, next question, twice or thrice. Jono Forward, hi Jono, asks if we're going to be doubling or tripling on any team's assets in the upcoming period. I think you probably have heard or grabbed off from our intimations earlier on that's probably going to be the case, especially for double game weekers. But let's see, outside of those kind of obvious DGW picks, what sorts of teams? Wolves, Man United, what do you guys think?
So Wolves and Man United are definitely, from a fixtures point of view across the whole rest of the season, the standout picks, and even from the first 4 or 5, let's actually, Watford or somebody who maybe it's worth considering. Leicester likewise have good early fixtures in the run. But maybe from a kind of more just zoomed out perspective and focusing at the top 6 especially, because realistically you're not going to triple up on Norwich players even if their fixtures are okay, or Watford players because it's Watford. So Liverpool, I think, are someone who I'm not going to be not doubling or tripling up on, put it that way. Like, they don't want a shred of doubt to be hanging over their achievement in winning this title. And Klopp is already kind of, they don't have a Champions League to play for as well. And he's very much hanging his coat up on the idea that he wants them to win the next 9 games. And you might say, of course the manager wants to win 9 games, but they don't always say that. So I think that there's definitely, that's where the motivation is at Liverpool. I think Manchester United are well set all of a sudden. They were obviously they didn't have Pogba. Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba have never been on the pitch together, which is absolutely insane. And I think with chasing Champions League football at full strength and with very, very good fixtures, as I said, they're definitely worth looking at. And Nick's men, Spurs, they had been completely decimated before the lockdown came into effect and the Premier League disappeared off our screens for a while. And Jose Mourinho was talking about how he was looking forward to July, and he was, if he had a chance, he would have cancelled the season, to be honest, at that stage. Whereas I think the mutterings and the hints that you've been getting out of London from Mourinho's camp, especially if you've been watching him in the park training with the lads the one day they were out, is that he's really putting the effort in to try and turn this outside chance of getting Champions League football kind of into something more than that. And I think it's a really big chance for Mourinho to prove himself to that squad, but also prove himself to the world all over again, because the doubts are definitely seeping in. So those are three, and it's obviously big three teams, but still three.
Yeah, I don't have anything especially detailed to add to what you've raised there. Obviously, I think, you know, we've got the double game week, and I've made my thoughts known already in terms of the teams that I'm going to be targeting for that. So, you know, looking forward after that when I'm going to be wildcarding, and it looks like I've basically got a day, just less than a day to kind of get the whole thing
together, which
the gap between the two game weeks, I think it's the third Wednesday, the Thursday, whatever it is. So I think definitely Manchester United, as you mentioned, they've just got that game week 31 to 38. Leicester's the only team in the current top four. They don't play any of the big top six, so a triple up on Manchester United. And as you said, they look a bit more refreshed with a full playing squad. Definitely seems to be on. You said Wolves as well. They're another team that I'll certainly be looking at targeting, like so Jimenez, probably critical, maybe like a defender, even, Willy Bolly or a Doherty. So, you know, those Wolves and United are probably the big teams. Other teams, Liverpool, probably Leicester. Manchester City after game week 33. So they've got Chelsea and Liverpool in 31, 32. Not really interested in them for those two. Game week's been 33 at Southampton, Newcastle, Brighton, Bournemouth, Watford, Norwich. You know, it's a really nice run of fixtures. Only problem with Manchester City is they have such a strong playing squad that you just don't know who's going to start week in, week out. They don't even have a 90-minute man in central defence that you can truly rely on unless Laporte's fully fit and back. So that's the concern there. And you also know that Pep's going to have one eye on those Champions League matches, which is going to be his priority once the season's over. And, you know, even like Leroy Sané's going to be back. So that's even more rotation for Manchester City. That's my concern there. But they are some really nice fixtures as well.
Well, they certainly are. I just wonder whether it's basically a case of spreading the risk or going all in, I think, with this. I just think I err on the side of spreading the risk and having that sort of mix of talisman and 90-minute men from across teams for, you know, all sorts of reasons, because it insulates you from having that sort of the uncertainty that could plague one team, or for obvious reasons over the course of a week you could find that some players just drop out, or there's a little niggling injury or something like that,
or a whole fixture gets cancelled. Yeah.
A whole fixture goes down for obvious reasons, and then suddenly you're a bit screwed. So maybe spreading the risk might be a good idea, alongside that kind of 90-minute man thing I spoke about. I think I'll be joining you, Anthony, as I've mentioned on the last previous pod, that I'll probably be tripling on United, Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, who I just presume is going to play every game, those two, and probably Rashford, as long as he's fit on game week 30, then I'll probably bring him in for Aubameyang in 31. Probably going to double on Wolves. I've already got that double and probably going to keep it. If I can fit in your man, Matt Doherty, then I will. But that might all be it, actually. Because as Nick's mentioned, you know, Man City rotationville, I think, over the next few weeks. They're going to be trying to gain fitness. But, I mean, the playing squad's so strong, isn't it? You've got no idea. Liverpool are a big question mark for me. I'm probably going to keep TAA and BVD just so I can keep using their acronyms instead of saying their real names. But I'm Salah. I just don't know about Salah. I think it's going to be, we might end up giving him even more time on one of our podcasts, maybe next week, because I'm just not sure whether long term I'll keep him. Maybe it'll be fun to sell him and use that money to, you know, bring in the likes of Son and bring in all these sorts of players and really spread and have quite a strong sort of team net, rather than having one guy who's really expensive and the rest of them sort of being second and third fiddle to him. So yeah, in summary, maybe triple United, double Wolves, maybe a double Liverpool defence, and that might be it, and it might be a spread after that. Yeah, interesting, huh? Next question. Sean McCall asks, what's better, sex or being able to transfer out James Maddison?
where does transferring out Ayoze Perez sit on this spectrum? Because that must be an out of this world, because I cannot wait to get rid of him. Cannot wait.
Don't forget that Perez always has a big end to the season.
Oh, he's no, the anti Ayoze Perez in that not way, again. You
know, Perez game week 33 to 38.
And then Olivier Giroud as well.
Season, so maybe he'll be in Richarlison mode.
Yeah, Ayoze Perez territory.
Yeah, I think with Matt, I like Madison. I basically owned him through that horrendous fallow patch where he couldn't get any returns for Toffee. But he was actually quite unlucky, to be honest. To be serious for a second, I mean, the amount of VAR assists and goals he got chalked off was just an utter joke. And to bring it back to stats as well, you know, his underlying, he's not got the returns, the assists, but his underlying stats have been brilliant over the course of the season. You know, second for chances created behind KDB for midfielders, 62. KDB said 74. And then I think last season as well, he was top for chances created as well. So, you know, I don't think Madison's a problem, really. But, you know, by all means, get rid. There's better options out there.
Only in WGTA, you can go from sex to stats. Like, it mentioned them both in the same sentence. Yeah, ladies,
and we often combine the two when we talk about Kyle Walker.
It's true. One in the box for him, that's for sure. Right, next. We'll probably speak about these actually a bit next week, but let's give some outline answers first. So Spurs on Fire, FPL Grump, he actually asked this last week, and I'll get to this week, asked about Spurs, you know, Son and Kane, desperate for lost time, what do you think about them? And FPL King as well, he mentioned Kane and said, you know, what about those forgotten men, you know, the likes of Kane, Pukki, Rashford, we mentioned Pukki, and also mentioned Rashford on this pod. What do you think about these guys kind of returning to prominence, returning from their crockery?
So I think Kane is a really premium asset, and the reliable source, Paul Robinson, was talking about him a little bit on Sky Sports News, and you know, I did think he actually made some very valid points about just like Kane and his fitness. He's going from nothing to playing twice a week. He's been very injury prone. Like, how is he going to be managing to play all of these games in such a tight schedule? He's not going to be fit enough to do it, and he's going to struggle. And I think at the price that he comes in at FPL, he's a very sort of premium luxury asset to try and fit into your team. Rashford is different though. It's hard to say because he's also coming back from injury, but I just feel like they seem to be on very different career trajectories. The teams as well, I just feel like they're on different trajectories at the moment. And Rashford's also actually a lot cheaper at FPL, which makes him a much more preferred asset in my eyes.
I guess I've already spoken about Spurs in general being a team that I'm interested in. I think, especially as somebody that's playing a wee bit of catch-up, the Spurs players certainly have to be on my radar. And that includes Kane. I think maybe the contra to the Paul Robinson argument that you kind of presented there, Nick, is the idea that Kane hasn't actually had this sort of rest to recuperate from injuries accrued over multiple years at this point, since he kind of broke through. And so perhaps for him, this might be exactly what he needed. This could have been a godsend for him. So we shall see from that point of view. Look, there, Paddy, in short, are there forgotten men like Kane, Pukki, Rashford, Tribble that we should be thinking of? Yeah, there definitely are. Plenty of them. And I think that especially if you're trying to play catch up, no more than ever, breaking away from the standard meta team is going to give you an advantage. And Kane, I think in particular, kind of presents that, being a non-double game week premium player in game week 30. And I mean, like, look, Spurs have a decent enough fixture in 31 coming straight afterwards, and that they're playing at home to West Ham, but then they've Sheffield United away and things. It's not the primary fixture that all those wildcarders are going to be aiming for. And so I think from that perspective, you might actually be safe in having him as a differential for a few weeks, because he's just so hard to get into your team if you've decided not to have him financially, unless you're moving an Aguero type for him.
Yeah, certainly. I think the fact is that we've definitely got a little period of time where you can experiment almost with these sorts of individuals. Just because I don't think in the course of a normal season you'd maybe be able to jump back onto one of these players, but now we have the opportunity that we can do that. And just to read out some of the TSB data, that's the ownership data, Rashford 8.8%, Pukki 12.8%, Son 4.4%, Kane 8.6, and I've also got Doherty, because I mentioned a minute ago. I can't say it, but you know, like Doc a second ago, because he's 8.7. I just, apart from maybe Doc, the number of active teams who will own those players has got to be so, so low. Like, if you are looking for Uber differentials and players, I mean, no, maybe not Pookie, because he obviously did fall off the cliff a little bit, but Rashford, Son and Kane, maybe not Kane's always a bit of a donkey recently, Son and Rashford are proven FPL assets who are explosive, have got everything kind of going for them. Rashford especially has got the fixtures. I think that, in answer to Paddy's question, yes, definitely should be thinking about them. I'm not going to trust Kane. I just think he's turned into a bit of and there's a good article again on The Athletic about him, but I feel like he's kind of turned into a bit of a Wayne Rooney, like trying to be too involved, and that really diminishes what he can do as a goal scorer. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if Miss Robertson's right and he is now going to become how he was. I just from playing with him on FIFA for a little while, he's just too slow. And I really fancy Son coming back at 4.4%.
I feel like the narrative that Kane has turned into a bit of a donkey is a little bit unfair. He's been quite injury prone. Actually, like surprisingly, this season he's actually banged in 11 goals somehow. I don't know, don't remember a single one of them, but he's managed it. and he did have two goals in his last three games as well before his injury. So we know he can score, and we know he can deliver.
Is that like Mason Greenwood scoring 13?
Yeah, but
we don't know where he scored then. But he scored them that. He hasn't scored them all in the league, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
I was just thinking. Yeah. I was like, those
scored five goals he scored in the league, Mason Greenwood. Yeah. Obviously, I'm being a little bit jocular of calling Kane a donkey. I apologise to Harry and his family if they're offended. Anyway, moving on to the next question. The final question this week. Top six tips, so FPL tips, a new addition to the Fantasy Football Hub family, asks for predictions for the top six this year.
Controversially, I think Liverpool will win the league. City in second, that's Manchester City. The other City, Leicester City in third. Manchester United in fourth, because they have the better fixtures than Chelsea, who will fall to fifth. And I think that Wolves will complete the top six.
I literally had exactly the same as you. So
basically really the same top six.
I'm just not sure about United and I'm not sure about Spurs and Arsenal if they're going to be able to deliver this year. I think Wolves might hold on to that sixth slot, and I think Manchester United are going to nick a top four slot as well.
We don't. None of us see Sheffield United putting in a push for Champions League football. No.
No, I mean, the fixtures are just too tough for them, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, they've done very, very well to get where they are, but they do have United, Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea and Leicester in their remaining fixtures. That's a pretty tall order for them, especially as maybe with them coming back. I think before they were in quite a good rhythm, weren't they? And Anthony spoke about this a lot on the pod last week in terms of how defences are very, very well drilled and stuff. If they've lost that kind of honed sense of where they should be, they might not have. But if they do, I think it's going to be quite a tall order, especially with those really tough fixtures to come. Without that really passionate home crowd as well, perhaps. Probably broadly agree with you guys. Just on the basis of fixtures alone, I wouldn't be surprised to see United make a real push, maybe towards Leicester even, because Leicester have got some tough fixtures coming, although that's where the likes of Vardy, for example, do well. Wolves, because again, they've got a good fixture run, I wouldn't be surprised to see them pushing for the top four or top five. I don't trust us either. neither of the North London clubs to really do anything. I mean, if Arsenal win against Man City, which is of course highly unlikely, we'll be in sixth with after the game in hand's done. If Sheffield United win the game in hand, they'll be actually up to fifth. So yeah, it's going to be very fine margins. I just think on the base of fixtures alone, the top three will probably stay as they are, unless you see a serious drop off in Leicester, which I just don't anticipate happening. Chelsea, Man United and Wolves kind of battle it out for that kind of fourth, fifth and sixth slot, and I think that will basically be it. I unless kind of Arteta can push something together, or Mourinho can create a siege mentality strong enough to overcome where Spurs are, I don't know. I just don't think it's going to change too much from how it is at the moment. But it'll be more exciting if that does happen. So I'm really hoping it does, but I just can't see it changing as much as you guys have said. Cool. All right. Well, that's a lot for this week. Again, glad to be back. And just one reminder again that if you've liked what you've listened to and you are interested in voting for us for the FCA's, not the Friendly Commerce Authority, not the Financial Conduct Authority, but the Football Content Awards, find that www.footballcontentawards.com or one word, /2020/voting. And you can say that on Twitter as well.
Yeah, just to say who we were of course Who Got the Assist. We will be back next week to give a proper player rundown, position by position, to figure out who should actually be in your teams.
Yeah, and it looks like we're going to be aiming to do 2 pods a week once the season starts fully as well. Probably most likely going to be Mondays and Thursdays to try and match the game weeks where we can. So plenty of podding to come your way in the coming weeks as we reach this season conclusion.
Yep. In the meantime, hope to assist you look at your chip strategy, and we'll be back next Monday to look at the players and go straight into the weeds of that. Bye.
Slán.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.